Hello, I'm Eric Holdeman, and this is Disaster Zone, a podcast about emergencies and disasters. Disaster Zone will bring you interviews and commentaries about all aspects of disasters, from what causes them to how people and organizations are dealing with their impact. Today's podcast is being sponsored by The Blue Cell.
With over 100 courses available within the areas of crisis, consequence, and incident management, The Blue Cell has online, virtual, live, or in-person options. Go to www.thebluecell.com/training to sign up today.
Welcome to the Disaster Zone podcast. With me today is Dan Criswell, Commissioner for the New York City Emergency Management. The focus of this podcast will be on how to warn the general public and all the challenges that are entailed in doing so. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Good morning, Eric. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's 9 o'clock in Eastern time zone and 6 a.m. out here in the West. But it works. I'm an early morning person anyway, so. So we're going to talk about warning systems and people, how they react to them. So what I'll call general governmental warning systems does New York City use? Which ones of those do you use? And here I'm thinking about the emergency alert system, wireless emergency alerts, weather radios, maybe the National Weather Service alerts. How does that all get integrated for the New York City emergency management?
There are a lot of different tools out there and a variety of systems that can be used to both receive information as well as distribute that important information. And so what we use here in New York City is basically everything that you mentioned, right? We use the emergency alert system. We use the wireless emergency alert system. We participate with the national warning system. And of course, we coordinate closely with the National Weather Service as they release information and we amplify their warnings that they put out to the public.
Okay, so do you have a preference, one over the other?
You know, I think it just depends on the audience that you're trying to reach. And it's, you know, we want to be able to reach as many people as possible. And so, you know, some of these systems, as you know, date back to the civil defense days when we were trying to protect from attacks. And so all of these systems, I think, now come together in a way that we can really reach out to individuals. You know, I know we're going to talk about warning systems, but it's also about being able to reach people where they receive information. So we also actively use social media in different types of social media so we can reach the different generations of individuals that are out there.
Okay. Well, we have a question on social media later, so I'd be interested in hearing more about that. So, you know, a really old one, you kind of mentioned it, Cold War era, is the National Warning System, NAWAS. Is that tied into your warning center? Typically, they go to states, and then states have a ring down system, but I can imagine that the size of New York City that you would have a direct link.
Yeah, absolutely. Our Watch Command, which is a 24/7 operation that really maintains situational awareness of everything going on around the city, they have a direct tie in to NAWAS and they use it. And they're in routine contact with the New York State Watch Center. And the main hub is at New York State, and then we have access to it. And you know, some of the routine use that we use includes daily operational tests, and then we also use it to amplify weather warnings that are issued by the National Weather Service for the New York City area.
Okay, do you have an automatic notification system if something comes down via NAWAS, that National Warning System, that ring down, old style, phone rings, it's a hotline, everybody is on it. It's kind of like the old party line. You pick it up and everybody can hear one another. Do you do notifications further down using a NAWAS system or then you use your other systems?
You know, Eric, I'd actually have to get back on that one. I believe that we receive information, but we will use other systems then to help disseminate this.
I would think more than likely that's true. And how many staff do you have at any one time in your warning center?
Oh, in my warning center, you know, we have a watch command supervisor. Sometimes we have two if we expect it to be a busy day. And then usually two to three watch commanders, as well as two to three public warning specialists. You know, it varies depending on the time of the day, right? Certain times of day are busier than others. Certain days of the week are busier than others. Special events we would staff up as well and put some extra people in there.
Okay. And I don't know if you followed the Hawaii, the missiles are coming, mistake that was made. When I talk about warnings are very public events, and you really need good people in there. I think this was a human error, and they didn't have the best of class in there. Any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think they have... It was human error. We've you know, read those reports, and that's, you know, open source information. And there's always that possibility, but the system itself has a lot of checks and balances, and we do a lot of training with our staff to make sure that we do use it appropriately and we have the right items checked in there. And they have this system where you can test, right, and do test messages. So it just comes back to, you know, I think about pilots. They go through that checklist all the time to make sure that they don't make a mistake, even though they do it the same way every time. And we do the same thing. There's a checklist that you go through when you're going to send one of those wireless alerts to make sure we don't miss a step and we don't have a similar type experience.
Yes, yes. So what have you mentioned? You're just teeing up all these topics here today. So what have you found to be the pros and cons of the wireless emergency alert system? And how do you choose to use that particular one? There have been some emergency managers have chosen not to use it because of some limitations.
Well, there are some limitations to it. The wireless emergency alerts, or WEAs for short, you know, what they're meant to provide, that critical information that's needed during those most severe incidents. And it's a really powerful tool, and it's really very far reaching. And there are cases where that's necessary, that we want to get to a lot of different people. For New York City, we know that on a more day-to-day basis, you really want to provide information that comes to New Yorkers in a more customizable way. So the city does that through a multi-pronged strategy, which includes its own emergency communications program. But it's important to remember that while the WEA, or the Wireless Emergency Alert, is a very powerful tool, it's just one tool in the toolbox. You know, and COVID was a really good, you know, case study of new uses for these wireless emergency alerts. And I think you've seen them used across the country to help get important information about the spread in a local community. And we used the WEAs here in New York City as well during the COVID response for a variety of different reasons. And, you know, as we see perhaps cases start to rise again, we have some other messages that we're prepared to send out. But I think some of the limitations, which I learned through this COVID response, which are very interesting, is the fact that depending on how old your phone is determines the type of message that you get. There was an advancement with WEAs just a few years ago where they went from a smaller number of characters, and I can't remember, Eric, the exact number.
I think the initial one might have been only 90. It was pretty short.
360 now, right? But it only goes to the newer phones. And then if you have an older phone, the newer phones, you can also triangulate in and get to very precise locations. But when you do that, if somebody has an older phone, they're going to get it wherever they're at, right? And so there's the cons of trying to use the new technology is that until all of the old technology is phased out, you might reach an audience, a population that you didn't intend to reach. And so I think it's going to continue to improve, and it's going to continue to be a tool. And I think that we've learned that it can be used for that, not necessarily just that immediate life threat, but they have the public safety alert that you can put in there now, which I think is really important. And COVID really showed that, where we can get that message out there to everybody to let them know what's going on.
Okay, so everybody listening, if you've been wanting to get the new iPhone 12 Pro, you have another rationale to tell your spouse or partner, but honey, I'll be able to get the most current and more detailed specific alerts with this new phone. So another reason. So, you know, we're talking about technology and all the new ones. We've seen in California, in particular, wildfire areas, totally different type of hazard, but they use a lot of sending officers out to knock on doors. Is that also a technique that's available in New York City, or just the density of the population? How would you be able to do that?
No, it's definitely, you know, I mean, you always have to have those redundant means of trying to get out to people. And, you know, as I talked earlier, the wireless emergency alert is one of many types of options that we use, right? Taking that multi-pronged approach, using social media, local news media. But we can also, if we were to issue an evacuation order, we can send staff into the area that we're asking to evacuate to help get that message across. Because again, not everybody has a television, not everybody has a phone that can receive this. And so we wanna make sure if it's a true life-threatening emergency that we're using whatever resources we have to make sure that we're keeping people safe.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick break right now and we'll be back immediately. Today's podcast is being sponsored by The Blue Cell.
With over 100 courses available within the areas of crisis, consequence, and incident management, The Blue Cell has online, virtual, live, or in-person options. Go to www.thebluecell.com/training to sign up today.
Today we're here speaking with Deanne Criswell, the Commissioner for New York City Emergency Management, talking about warning systems that they use. And before we dive into a specific question about perhaps what you use for a commercial off-the-shelf system, when do you use, like you just had a big snowstorm or the warning of a snowstorm, when do you use the media? I'm betting that the mayor had a news conference where, you know, information was provided about parking on streets and, you know, snowplows and all that. When do you use those typical media pieces versus a warning message? Or do you use some of the warning tools even when the media is on top of the story?
Well, I think it's definitely got to be a combination of both. We want to use the traditional media anytime we know that there is a potential threat that is approaching New York City. And so we want we will hold a press conference. This recent snowstorm, I participated with the mayor's press conference. I also held a press conference as well as a bunch of news interviews just to get the message out. And in particular for this one, right, it had been a long time since we had seen this much snow. So we didn't want people to take it lightly. And we wanted them to be aware and take it seriously and take the precautions. And most importantly, we really want them to stay off the roads, right? And so we use the media to help us get that message out. When we would use a wireless emergency alert in something like that would be more of if now we have an immediate life threat. If there was a tornado warning that was coming out, then the National Weather Service would send something out there. Or if it was an immediate threat that the National Weather Service isn't going to send an alert, then we could use that. I don't see too many instances perhaps with a winter storm, but certainly, you know, as we saw Tropical Storm Isaias over the summer, we had some potential pockets for severe weather and tornadoes. The Weather Service, and I believe they may have even sent out a tornado warning during that one for a certain part of the city. And so it's really to amplify that immediate threat. But the general media is really great in helping us get out the incoming threats to help people get prepared.
But you know, it's interesting. My former deputy happened to go down this is years ago for a deployment in preparation for a hurricane, and they were out, the streets were kind of bare, but they went out to get something to eat, and they ran into three guys, young men, and they had no idea a hurricane was even headed their way. I mean, they were just not tuned in to the news, per se. So we can't make any assumptions. Okay, so I expect you're using some form of off-the-shelf commercial notification system. I don't know if this is the Notify New York alert notification where people can sign up, or it's code red, or what are you using? And when do you use that in combination with other governmental systems or not?
Yeah, there's a lot of different off-the-shelf systems, and the one that we use here in New York City is Everbridge. That is our mass notification system and our alert origination software provider for IPAWS. So that provides that integration that offers a scalable approach to alerting. I would say in most cases here in New York City, we rely solely on issuing alerts and notifications to subscribers of Notify NYC. Everbridge is our Notify NYC, and that is our official emergency communications program. But again, as we've been talking, in a severe emergency, we can and would activate a VIA or an EAS from the same system. So using Everbridge as our access point into that system to issue additional alerts as needed.
And okay, we're an acronym-free podcast. So you said IPAWS. I don't think we've used that one yet.
Oh, and I'd have to look up the exact.
Well, I can help you out there. Integrated Public Warning System, IPAWS, which WIA is part of, right? And that, I mean, it's acronym city. Every profession has their own terminologies. I actually worked at Port Tacoma as director of security. I was in one of the first teams, and they said, they were talking about bomb carts. I'm thinking, bomb carts? Well, that's a type of cart for carrying very heavy types of equipment. So you got to learn the terminology. So,
just to add a little bit on that too, Eric, I think the really interesting thing about our Notify NYC system that we have here is that we can also create what's called a short code, and we can encourage people to sign up for a very specific event and send information out then only to those people that subscribe for that. So for example, we do it for the New Year's Eve celebration, or we have done it for the 4th of July. And then we set one up here for COVID, where people could sign up just to get COVID-related information. And so it's a really great resource and tool that can target people for just a specific incident or event that's happening, and they can receive that information for that.
Yeah, out here, Amber Alerts probably started, 15, 18 years ago or that, and that would be part of our warning system. But those can come out in the middle of the night, and we found people didn't necessarily want to be woken up at 2 a.m. to hear about an Amber Alert. So that idea of being able to tailor it to specific hazards or events going on, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think it's just been a really good tool just to get additional people signed up for that particular event. Yeah.
Now, one of the challenges always with these, the subscriber type thing where people sign on for it, the percentage of the population who actually are signed on can be pretty small. Do you have any idea what your numbers are? I mean, you've got 8 million people. I know you don't have 8 million subscribers. If you had a couple hundred thousand, I think you'd be doing pretty good.
Yeah, well, we do a lot of education and advertising to try to get people to sign up for our Notify NYC. And so today we have over 900,000 people that are subscribed to that. And they also, they can subscribe through mobile apps. So we've got about 160,000 plus on Apple and a little bit over 30,000 on Android. And then again, I talked about the short code that we did for COVID.
Yeah.
We actually got an additional 850,000 signed up for that COVID specific one. So we could continue to communicate.
Okay. I mean, that is, I would say, given what I've read and seen in other places, other jurisdictions, that's, you know, 10%. And for expanding for COVID, I mean, you've got another 10% specific for that. That's a very successful program as far as I have seen in the past. So to achieve that, you've done a lot of messaging.
We have done a lot of messaging. And I think the other part that's important with that is we also get some of our news outlets that subscribe to it. And then they will then amplify the messages right. that we
Okay. Well, one of the big challenges of warnings, and New York City kind of epitomizes this. I call it a polyglot type place of languages and international communities. Within the city, but we're seeing this across the United States. It's not a lot of times in the West, Spanish is a language they try and do, but I think Seattle has about 80 or more spoken languages, and there's dialects beyond that. How does your warning system and strategy policies accommodate this challenge? And it's a really big challenge.
And it's an important question, and it's one that New York City takes very seriously and has put a lot of effort into. I mean, as you stated, New York City is home to more than 8.6 million New Yorkers, and nearly one half of all of New Yorkers speak a language other than English at home, which is just an amazing amount of people.
Now, let me just say, wow. Wow.
You're talking about 4.3 million people that speak a language other than English at home. And then almost 25% of New Yorkers are not English proficient. So it's a big challenge for us here in the city to make sure we're getting our messages out there. And so things that our agency has done is we've developed outreach strategies that work with the community groups, with our social service providers, with our schools, as well as other city agencies to help promote as well as publicize the availability of our emergency preparedness guides and other tools. And we have those all in other languages. Together with the other agencies and our community partners, we work with people with limited English proficiency. And New York City Emergency Management has really been using a lot of proactive strategies to help translate and disseminate these materials out to New Yorkers. And again, when we're talking about more than half of our population that doesn't speak English as a primary language at home. You know, some of the other things is that we do here too is our Notify NYC also ensures that New Yorkers can stay informed and connected during these critical times. And we've been working really hard to improve the program and be able to reach a broader audience, you know, as many people as we possibly can. And so our current program offers alerts in American Sign Language video format, and it's also expanded its multilingual messaging, and it's available in 12 different languages. So we can offer these key alerts and updates to our non-English speaking New Yorkers, which is just an incredible feat. And our team has worked hard to increase that number of languages that go out there. And then most recently, our Notify NYC introduced a short code message, as we had talked about, that provides that opt-in for users. And the short code messages were sent in both English and Spanish with additional messages that we shared on Twitter accounts in a variety of different languages. And so we look at this every day and try to find ways that we can continue to reach out to more New Yorkers and speak to them in the language that they speak.
Okay, and I'm impressed you're using social media, and you mentioned Twitter specific. So how do you use Twitter for warnings? Is this in the warning center itself? Is there, are you using the general Twitter, not hashtag, but the Twitter moniker for New York City Emergency Management for these warnings you send out, or how do you do that?
Yeah, we do both, right? So we have an official New York City Emergency Management account, and then I have my official commissioner account. And so we will either send messages out directly from either of those two accounts, or we also, and what we do a lot of is amplify other messages, right? So if there's a major police incident, we'll amplify that message. Or if there is something that the Weather Service is putting out, we'll amplify that message. And so if we put something out, the same thing, our sister agencies, our partner agencies, both city and partners also will amplify the messages we're putting out. And so we do reach quite a few people. And right now we've got just over 500,000 Twitter followers on our New York City Emergency Management account, which again gets.
And a lot of times, you know, emergency managers say, okay, social media, that space belongs to the public information officers and that, but I sense you guys use it as an operational tool, and it's not done through just public information officers. Your warning center is using it.
Our warning center monitors it, but it's really my external affairs bureau that manages the Twitter accounts and puts everything out there. And so our external affairs bureau works hard to monitor the different social media and is very active on getting the information on there.
Okay. And so if the warning center had something to be put out, they would work with the external affairs office to get it put out.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, social media would be another topic we could really do a deep dive into. So last question here, you know, based on your experiences, what advice do you have for the average citizen who may be listening to this podcast? And there's a very good chance you're not in New York City. So what, think more holistically, nationally, what advice do you have?
You know, public warning is really important. You know, no matter where you are in this country, there are hazards that we face in every corner and everywhere in between of the United States. And the emergency managers and the first responders across the United States, they really do work very hard to provide these key alerts and updates before, during, and after an incident. And so I really strongly encourage people, whether they live in a large municipality like New York City, or a small town, to find a way to stay informed. It's one of the most important things everybody can do. And this can be through signing up to receive alerts if your community offers them, pay attention to the warnings that your local governments are issuing during an incident, watch your local news channels because they will also be amplifying and bringing you information. And then just specifically, since I am in New York City, if you live or work in New York City, please sign up for Notify NYC. You can visit nyc.gov, you can call 311, or you can download our free mobile app.
Okay, lots of ways to plug in. I guess I would just say also for citizens that warnings are not just idly put together and sent out. That if something bad is happening, and you get a warning, they mean it when you get that, they send that warning out. It's not done as, oh, maybe we should send, no, they're being very deliberate in warning you. So pay attention. Well, I just want to say thank you to Commissioner Criswell for being a guest here on the Disaster Zone podcast.
Thank you, Eric. It's always a pleasure.
I look forward to doing this again. And I'm sure anyone listening to today's podcast learned a great deal about how our nation's largest metropolitan city approaches the task of issuing warnings to the public. And now a reminder to everyone, be safe. Think about what you can do today. Become better prepared for the next disaster, to include knowing how to be warned of an impending disaster. Tune in again soon for more information on all aspects of disasters. You can also check out the Disaster Zone blog at www.disaster-zone.com.